The Hebrew scripture reading for this morning comes from Psalm 13, and it reads, "How long, Yahweh, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Yahweh, my God, and give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to you, Yahweh, for being so good to me." There ends the scripture reading. A few months ago, my garage door opener began to fall apart. For a while, I was able to get it to work by breaking open the outer casing and kind of jimmying around the inner parts. But eventually, even that trick failed. In such a situation, the ordinary person would then immediately the next day go to Home Depot and buy a replacement garage door opener. So it was that a couple of months later, I still had not gone to Home Depot. I could never seem to muster up the willpower when I came home. And so that meant that every time I wanted to leave and back out, I'd have to put the car in park, run up, press the button, then run back before the garage door closed. And then when I got home, I would then have to turn off the car, enter in through the house, open the garage door, and then come back, start the car, and go in. Now, that was, if you need to happen to be with me, you know, sitting next to me, I might turn towards her and say, "Could you please go and open?" You can imagine the kinds of conversations that ensued about why I had not yet gone to Home Depot. So it continued on like this for a while until finally I had developed a long enough list of things that I needed to get at Home Depot that I couldn't wait any longer. And so with our dog Joey, I went to Home Depot, and within less than an hour I was back home wondering why I had never done this earlier. But everything didn't go smoothly exactly. When I was at Home Depot, the attendant told me that the Stanley garage door opener, they stopped making Stanley 10 or 12 years ago. And so there was another brand that might be able to work. But I could tell by the expression on his face that it didn't necessarily work for everybody. It just so happened, however, that there was another shopper standing next to us who seemed to be an authority on the matter, and he assured me that it would indeed work so long as I programmed the correct frequency. Now, programming the correct frequency sounded a little too complicated for me, but both of them said, "Oh, the instructions are easy to understand. It's not a problem." And so I bought the thing. I can see people are get a sense of where this is headed already. Okay. So I bought the thing, I go home, and within an hour, I'm just exasperated out of my mind, trying to figure out how to get it to work. And the instructions are clear enough, but they do leave some room for interpretation. And so I was experimenting with one interpretation after another, trying to get it to work, but I just could not get this thing to work. And so I was just completely frustrated, confused, and didn't know what to do. I didn't know what the answer was, what it was that I was missing. A few days later, I was still at it, trying one thing after another, and just when I was about to return this infernal thing to Home Depot, my eyes landed upon an enlarged picture in the instructions. And the picture was of something called the dip switch. Now, for those of you who don't know, the dip switch is actually a series of switches that are either in the on and off position, and it's important that they be in the right sequence of on and off. And so even though the instructions didn't say anything about fiddling with the dip switch, I became convinced that this was the key to getting the garage door opener to work. This was the Da Vinci Code, if you will, of unlocking the power of the garage door opener. And so I tried a number of different combinations for the dip switch, and eventually there was a sudden jolt to the garage door. And I knew in that brief and glorious moment that I had finally figured it out. And so I pressed the button one more time, and lo and behold, the garage door ascended upward. Glory, hallelujah. I was saved. I saw the light on the other side of the garage door. Now, some of you might be wondering why I'm telling you this story about my garage door opener. Well, this past week, I was reading a book by a rabbi called Erwin Kula. And he was talking about how in every age, there are different metaphors for God, and that these metaphors reflect the times and the place. And so if you live in a place where there is a monarch ruling over society, you think of God as a king. Or if you live in a really strict and repressive society, you think of God as kind of a malevolent peeping Tom who's watching your every move and is going to punish you if you're naughty. So what Rabbi Kula says is that we need some new metaphors, some more, less oppressive, more liberating metaphors. And so since part of my week was dominated by the garage door opener, I thought this might very well be a metaphor for thinking about God today in our modern times. So if you will, think this through with me. In life, most of us, if we're, you know, in a fairly privileged existence, we can and have a fair amount of comfort in our lives. We can kind of coast along without ever really kind of thinking about some of the big questions of life, big questions about suffering or the meaning of life or about God. I mean, we can have some thoughts, but we might not really feel the need to really dig deep. And so for some of us, this might mean that, you know, we're pretty content with how things are. We aren't real interested in going to church on Sunday. Or maybe even if you're a pastor like me and you're in church every Sunday, maybe you get stuck in the same old rut, the same old beliefs, and you never really question or probe them. You just hold on to them. But at some point, there inevitably comes something that jolts us, that causes us to shift our view. And for some people, that might be a big life crisis. That might have been the case, or it apparently was the case for the psalmist who wrote Psalm 13. The enemy was knocking at the door, and he's asking, where is God in all of this mess? Now, for others of us, we might not have a big life crisis, but there might be a gradual building up as we think that there's more to life than what we're experiencing in the comfort of our own home. We might not have had the big pipe burst, to use the home maintenance metaphor or the church maintenance metaphor, for those of you who have been downstairs today. But we have this gradual building up that there might be more to life that's outside of the comforts of our home. And so we decide to head out into the world. And we do that, and we find ourselves in a big warehouse full of ideas about God and about life and what it means. And we're walking around the aisles looking for something that will work for us, and we finally find something that we think is going to do the trick. And so we take it home and we apply it to our lives, but then we suddenly find that we actually have more questions now than we began with. And there might be some confusion. I'm reminded of an interview I heard this past week on the news program Democracy Now! They were interviewing a filmmaker, and he said that when he was in college, he was a religion major, and he wanted to wrestle with tough questions about God and about how to live life. And he got to graduation, and one of his classmates turned to him and said, "You know, I'm still confused, but just at a higher level." And so some of us, when we're trying to read and interpret the Bible, or we're trying to make sense out of life, we might feel confused and frustrated, trying to figure things out. And so this raises a question, because we might think, well, I would just prefer some easy answers. And I think, to be honest, a lot of churches out there do present easy answers to some of life's big questions. If you pray, your prayers will be answered. If you go to church, if you're faithful, if you give enough money to church, then you'll get what you want. So what's the alternative? Because I think easy answers aren't always really answers. They're false promises that never actually get the garage door to open. So what is the alternative? Are we just to be confused and frustrated? I mean, I can imagine the PR campaign for our church. The other churches will give you easy answers, but we'll make you more confused than ever. Well, I don't think it has to be that way. And something that occurred to me was something that I liked was what Rabbi Kula had to say. He said that when it comes to the big questions of life, there never are answers to them. They're just more profound questions. And he says he finds this to be a very liberating and more expansive way to approach life. Instead of getting stuck in the same old place with the same old beliefs, life becomes a process of digging deeper. Life is a journey in which one has one new discovery, one new realization, one new burst of insight after another on a path of enlightenment and meaning that's never ending. Now, the important thing to realize with my garage door opener, when I was trying to get this to work, is that I wasn't standing on the outside trying to get in. I wasn't about to reach my final destination. I was instead standing on the inside trying to get out to the wider world. And it's in the wider world where there's all those questions and discoveries waiting to be found. And I think for congregations, for the body of Christ, church isn't about trying to get inside the doors of the church. It's about trying to get our dip switch to work, so that we can head out into the world with all of its challenges and possibilities. This past week, I went for a walk with Unita and our dog Joey, and it just so happens that about 30 yards from our house is a giant field. It's like a softball field. And so we were going out there to play with Joey. And it was a beautiful day. Not a cloud in the sky, hardly, if you can believe that. And so we get to the field, and it's so beautiful. I just take across the field running, looking up at the sky in front of me, and Joey is racing after me, and we're both completely enthralled and absorbed with the beauty and excitement of life. Brothers and sisters, it's time for us to work on our dip switch. Because out there is a whole world waiting for us. Out in the open field, there is a God to be found. There is an experience of the divine to be had. And we might just find ourselves doing as the psalmist says, singing with thanksgiving over the goodness of God. Amen.